Delaware Woman is the last day, member of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation Mount Zion at the 12th Hour in the Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is October 4, 2016. It is a bull for 2020. We're going to start our first service today with a song entitled that I've written entitled, Let the Heavenly Light Shine Through You. Well, you would not have known about a wonderful y'all if he hadn't have created you. And you would not have known about his vast creation and all that he can do. So draw near unto y'all, remember to pray, let the heavenly light shine through. And y'all in his mercy when he comes, then we'll have a heavenly home for you. Let the heavenly light shine through. Let the heavenly light shine through. And y'all in his mercy when he comes again, we'll have a heavenly home for you. There would not have been a creation of earth if y'all had never come down. He spoke the word all creation heard, and the world was spinning around. When he spoke the word and the light appeared, he divided it from the night. And y'all saw that his work was good, created by his mind. Let the heavenly light shine through. Let the heavenly light shine through. And y'all in his mercy when he comes again will have a heavenly home for you. Well, you climb upon a mountain and you look around, there's a green valley below. There's a moon up above that's shining with love, there's a peace for heaven that flows. There's a bird and a breeze and a flower and a trees and all that heaven can spare. And to think that this is just a glimpse of what's waiting over there. Let the heavenly light shine through. Let the heavenly light shine through. And y'all in his mercy when he comes again, we'll have a heavenly home for you. Yahweh's law, perfect law. That's the name of going to be the name of our series. We're going to do the whole book of Psalms, and we're tired of things in with it, but we're going to start with Psalms chapter 1. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. We're going to pronounce the word that's actually written here and then tell you that it also means the same thing as unrighteous. Ungodly is pagan terminology, but unrighteous is not. Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of Yahweh, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The unrighteous are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Now, the terminology for of the word ungodly, it appears 27 times in the scriptures in 24 verses of the KJV. And now we have this word sinners now has come up here in verse 5 of Psalms chapter 1. And sinners occurs 48 times in 46 verses. Psalms 1, verse 6. For the Yahweh knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Now, David bears down on this here word ungodly. And he's mentioned, it looks like, about three or four times here. in these six verses. Sinners, he's mentioned, are two times. Now, if you were to go to Jude and read Jude in conjunction with Psalms chapter 1, where Enoch was making a latter-day revelation, and Jude recorded it, Enoch was the seventh generation from Adam. He's one that's translated to heaven without seeing death. He and Elijah are the only two that we know of that was translated from earth to heaven without seeing death. Moses was translated to heaven, but he saw death for 3 days here on earth, and then he was resurrected and taken to heaven. So Enoch, Elijah, and Moses are in heaven today. Alright, Jude chapter 1. Jude, the servant of the Yahshua Messiah and brother James, to them that are sanctified by the Yahweh, the Father, and preserved in the Yahshua Messiah and called. Mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained unto this condemnation. Unrighteous men turn the grace of Yahweh into a lasciviousness and denying the only Father, Yahweh Elohim, and our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah, his Son. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Yahweh, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed them that believed not. And then you can read about that in Hebrews chapter 3 and 4 as well. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in the like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of the eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. Durst not bring against him a written accusation, but said, "The Yahweh rebuked thee." That's when Yahweh came down, or sent his son Yahshua come down to resurrect Moses. It was Yahshua, his son, that resurrected Moses, like he resurrected Lazarus and others. So it says, "But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally is brute beasts, and those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain." Now, Cain was the firstborn of Adam. He ended up being a devil, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kore. Okay, these are spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of the winds, trees whose fruit withered, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, unto whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, "Behold, the Yahshua cometh with 10,000s of his saints."
to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's person in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember yet the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Savior Yeshua the Messiah, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourself in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of Elohim, looking for the mercy of our Savior Yeshua the Messiah unto eternal life. And as some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise Elohim, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Hallelujah. All right, now let's go back to Psalms chapter 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Well, number one is because they're lawbreakers. And I'm talking about these are people professing to be Christians. I'm talking about Jew and Gentile alike. These are people that go to these here churches once a week, whether it's on Saturday or Sunday. They're all heathen. It says, the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Yahweh and against his anointed. Now get acquainted with that word anointed, because we're going to do a series on just that word, righteous, anointed, set aside, whatever you want to call it. Psalms chapter 2, verse 3. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. Yahweh shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Okay, who was this king? David. This was King David. And did you know that Yahweh has given me that same contemporary part to play in these last days of King David? He has given me King David's messages. And I have very similar talents to what King David had that Yahweh gave me. And let's go on to verse 7. I will declare the decree that Yahweh has said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Yahweh with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Now who is this him? The Son, Yeshua. It says, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. That him is a pronoun referring to this kiss the Son, S-O-N, Yeshua. Okay, now this is, we're going to go and read chapter 3 now. This is a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. And it's amazing when David was at the end of his days, he fled from his son Absalom, which was nothing but a devil himself. But anyway, it was all David's fault to begin with. Anyway, he shouldn't have given in to having Absalom brought back to Jerusalem. He had him exiled from there. Okay, verse 1, Psalm chapter 3. Yahweh, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Now, watch this. David is talking about many are they that rise up against me, and that includes his own sons. He had two sons definitely rose up against him. That was Adonai. Now, these two sons had two different mothers, but nevertheless, they were David's sons. Adonai and Absalom were these two of his sons that rose up against him. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in Yahweh. But thou, Yahweh, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto Yahweh with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I laid me down and slept, I awake, for the Yahweh sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. So he says, I will not be afraid of 10,000s. Okay, arise, O Yahweh, save me, O my Elohim, for thou hast smitten all my enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Yahweh. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Now, we're actually talking about Yahshua the Son, because it's written in upper and lower case here. The translators put that Lord, indicating that we're talking about the Son. That was mentioned up there in chapter 2, verse 12. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. And in the book of Revelation, it talks about the wrath of the Lamb has come when it comes to judgment here in the last day. So salvation belongeth unto him. Okay, it says in Psalm chapter 4, verse 1. Hear me when I call, O Yahweh, of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. Now let's read that verse 2 again. O you sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing? Now, he's talking about the sons of men. And it's talking about the natural man, the carnal man. It's talking about the sinner. It's talking about the one that has no fear to walk contrary to the law of Yahweh. That's what he's talking about. Now, the sons of Yahweh is another story. There's sons of men that are carnal. There are sons of Yahweh that are righteous, that are very spiritual. But you have to have a special power to become a son of Yahweh. It has to be given to you. And it can only be given to you after you turn away from sin, confess, repented of it, and turned away from it to sin no more, according to Romans chapter 6. You have to do this. This is a process of purification, but it starts with repentance and then baptism, and then you come out of the baptismal fountain, walk in a newness of life, never to sin no more because you know what sin is. So you turn away from it. But then John over there in the first epistle of John chapter 2, he says, little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. But if you do sin, you have an advocate. So, the righteous, if he accidentally sins, or if he does sin, ignorantly or presumptuously or whatever, he can get forgiveness. But he's the only one that can get forgiveness. Okay, after, unless the sinner comes, makes his first step to come to the fountain, and the fountain of baptism, Then the first thing he does, makes a confession, he repents. Yeah, and he gets forgiveness. He gets forgiveness. That's his first step. But the sinner that don't ever come to that fountain to make that first step, he never has forgiveness. Because, number one, he never makes the effort. He never makes the effort to do what it takes to be forgiven of all the sins and iniquities to get them purged from him and so forth. He doesn't make the effort. And so, consequently, the sinners and the ungodly and the unrighteous, they never get, they don't ever walk in the light of his counsel. To John chapter 1 and at verse 12, they said, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of Yahweh, even unto them that believe on his name." So, those that believe, but as many as received him, received Yahshua, unto them gave he power to become the sons of the Father, Yahweh. That's in John 1:12. Even unto them that believe on his name. So you got to believe on his name. If you're running around here still calling him Lord God and Jesus, and you're perverting, using those pagan titles that was given originally to Satan here on earth, and the translators attributed the same titles to our Heavenly Father and His Son, His Lord God and Jesus, that's blasphemy. That's blasphemy to the highest heaven. And yet they do it, and these Sunday-keeping churches and the Seventh-day Adventists, the spiritual Jews of the day that keeps the Sabbath, or at least they assemble on the Sabbath, and they're no different. They're no different than those that assemble on Sunday. They all believe a lot. And none of them keeps any day holy. So Seventh-day Adventists and the Sunday-keeping world are just of the same body. And all your Jewish synagogues and stuff that keeps additional holy days and feast days, they're the same quagmire of sin. They know not how to get out of it and become righteous because they've been following the doctrines and the ordinances of mankind that he had. And the traditions of mankind. Like the Pharisees, they set up ordinances and customs and traditions. And Paul talked against that, the customs and traditions of the Pharisees. Okay. They even got so bold as to write 613 new laws to add to the law of Moses, which is the law of Yahweh, in a book. The Pharisees did at the cross. Alright, it says that, so it says in John 1:12, it says, but as many. Let's look at that, let's look a little earlier. Let's just read the whole chapter of John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was Yahweh, and the Word was Yahweh. Now, when we say God, we're talking about the Father, okay? But when we say Word, we're talking about His Son, Yahshua. So just think about that. So I'm going to read this just like it's written. In the beginning was the Word, that was Yahshua, His Son. And the Word was with God, that's the Father. So Yahshua was with the Father, and the Word was God. Okay, so now the translators made a slip up here. They said, Yahshua, the Word, that He was God. But that's not so. Because it said earlier in that same sentence, that same verse, that the Word was with the Father in the beginning. So how can it be with the Father and then be the Father at the same time? That's illegal. That's an illegal use of the Word. Of the English language, right there. John chapter 1, verse 2. The same was in the beginning with the Father. There it is right there. See, the same. What? The Word was in the beginning with the Father. So, with is a preposition, meaning something joined to something else. All things were made by Him. Here's another preposition, by. It means that the Father's power made all things by His Son, Yahshua. And without Him was not anything made that was made. The heavens were made. And it said, in Genesis chapter 1, it says he came down and created. Now, in the beginning, Yahweh created the heaven and the earth. So, the heaven was not created. I mean, you just can't create thin air and say this is the heaven. No, when you create an atmosphere, and you encapsulate it with an atmospheric condition with air and so forth, that things that are created later that are living, they have to have this pure oxygen air to breathe and live. So that's the heaven we're talking about that he created. He created an atmospheric condition where the birds fly. They fly in the heaven, right above us. So it says, all things were made by him. What does it mean, all things were made by him? The sun, he used his sun to create everything on this earth. He wasn't talking about everything out there in the universe that didn't exist. Did you know that the creating of this earth is the beginning of the universe 6,000 years ago? I know this goes contrary to the scientists and so forth and the astronomers and so forth, but that makes no never mind. The Holy Spirit is the one that has the last say. And it says that the beginning began 6,000 years ago when Yahweh came down with his son. He brought his son with him, and he created the heaven and the earth around this here. So now, we know that Yahweh came from heaven where he lived in the sides of the north, and he brought his son with him. Now we know that Yahweh created the heavens first so he could have a home base of operations, and then he could go out and create the universe. And all the starry hosts and all the planets and everything after that. But he had to have a home base, so he created his own planet in heaven, and then he created his son, number two. And then he used his son to create all living after that. After he created his son in heaven, and he and his son created all, Lucifer created all the angels together in heaven. And then Yahweh come down here, brought his son with him 6,000 years ago. And we're in John chapter 1 here, it says that all things were made by him, by the son. The father made all things by his son. And and that means all things here and confined in this heaven and earth, that the heaven that surrounds this earth that we're living in this here, in this stratosphere. Then his son, everything that was created in this solar system. And the solar system was created on the fourth day of creation here on earth, 6,000 years ago. It says so right there in Revelation 1:14. He said on the fourth day he created the stars, the sun, and the moon. There's your solar system, and there's all your heavenly hosts right there. So no wonder Paul talked about three heavens. Paul referred to three heavens. Our first heavens where the birds fly, and there's a second heaven beyond where the birds fly, and then there's a third heaven to where your stars are at, and the sun, the moon, and stars are at. But they all belong to this planet right here, to govern this planet right here, sun, moon, and stars, in the third heaven. And to think that the Father and the Son created all this together. In John chapter 1, it says, verse 4, it says, in him was life. Who? In the Son, Yahshua. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended not. There was a man sent from the Father, Yahweh, whose name was John. So now here's John. He was born here on earth. He was conceived here on earth, just like Yahshua the Son was reincarnated here on earth. But it said he was sent from Yahweh. There was a man sent from the Father whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. Now you see that word witness there? Now you go to Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, and you can read about that true witness, which is Yahshua the Son. Again, we're talking about this witness here. So John chapter 1 and Revelation chapter 1 agree. It says here in Revelation 1:5, and from Yahshua Messiah, who is a faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, and to him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. So all the saints, those that turn from their sin, and the only way they become sons of Yahweh and to be empowered, they have to be empowered. And the only way that they can be empowered is they have to be washed of their sins in the blood of the Savior, Yahshua the Messiah. All right, now we go to John chapter 1. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So John wasn't that light. He wasn't that true witness that is talked about here. Verse 10, John 1. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, the Son, unto them gave he power to become the sons of Yahweh, even unto them that believe on his name. Okay. So now if you want to accept his name and have respect unto it and have fear, use it, to not use anything else. Now, in other words, not use a substitute that the wicked, the heathen, those Greek Orthodox Jews that wanted to have a part in the translation of the New Testament, that hated Yahshua when they were born back to 2,000 years ago, they lived the same time that Yahshua lived, they wanted to be the translators of the New Testament. So they had the Old Testament records of the Dead Sea Scrolls and so forth, the Greek Orthodox era in the first century. After Yahshua's resurrection went back to heaven, they had the scrolls, they had the record, the Paleo-Hebrew record of the Hebrews that they kept faithful records of in the Old Testament. The Greek Orthodox had access to those faithful records. And what did they do? Instead of transliterating the Hebrew alphabet that using the right letters that identifies the Father and the Son in the Paleo-Hebrew, they took and they just didn't even bother to even use those Hebrew alphabet. They created their own alphabet. They decided to supplement those Hebrew Paleo-Hebrew names of Yahweh, Yahshua, his son, and Yahweh Elohim, names of the Father. They decided to supplement those with just a created name, but they didn't know what to use. So they went searching. They said, "Well, let us find something in the way of a product that would be a derogatory term that it would speak very evil of our Savior." They said, "Let's just take this here sexual Rebinol that's called Christo, C-H-R-I-S-T-O, and let's shorten it in the Latin. That's your Catholics, that's your Druids, the Vulgate. They said, let's just shorten it and call it Christ, C-H-R-I-S-T. And let's make that stand as a title to take the place of the title of Messiah. Because Messiah is not a name, it's a title, meaning the Father with us. So let's let this terrible sexual rubbing oil with the name Christo, let's change it to Christ, and all of Christ's followers from then on would be called Christian. So they put the suffix coming out of the Christ era, they call it. They put that and attached that to the title of Christ, and now they have the word Christian, and lo and behold, once the Greek Orthodox got that established title, Christ, Christian, then they pinned that on the Gentile converts at Antioch. And they said that they were first called Christians at Antioch. So now it says in John 1:13, let's read verse 12 again. But as many as received him, Yahshua the Messiah, unto them gave he power to become the sons of Yahweh. So Yahshua was the one that, once he received him, then he was able to then give them power to become the sons of Yahweh. And they, by receiving him, they did exactly what it says here in Revelation 1:5. They got washed from their sins in his own blood. That's the only way that they could receive him. They had to confess their sins, and then they had to accept the blood of the Savior, because the blood of the Savior has to then go into the sanctuary in heaven after his resurrection. And when he's sent into the heavens, then he has to take his blood and offer it on the four horns of the altar in the heavenly sanctuary in heaven for these people, these sons of Yahweh that he has empowered to become the sons of the Father. He has to take their sins and bear their sins to the first apartment in the heavenly sanctuary. Now in John 1:14 it says, "And the Word was made flesh." First we had the written word, but that written word, first we had Yahshua, the living word. And then when Moses started recording the Bible, then Yahshua then appeared as the written word. And the reason we know that is that the word represents Yahshua the Son is because in the Paleo-Hebrew, he's called Abaddon. He has a name for the scriptures. For his scriptures is Abaddon, meaning exterminator of all of his enemies, destroyer of all of his enemies. And in the New Testament, he has the name Apollyon, meaning the destroyer of all of his enemies. So Yahshua is the destroyer of all the wicked in the Old Testament. And he's the destroyer of all the wicked in the New Testament. The Father hath given that into his power because he made his Son a judge of this world. And these modern day preachers are going around telling their sinful congregation that are living in sin. They don't know how to live any other way, and it's not their fault. It's not their fault. It's the fault of number one, of the ministers. Because the ministers didn't go, when they went to school to learn to be a minister, they didn't learn how to get rid of their sins either. So they can't teach any other way. They got a captive audience with their congregation. And their congregation is just like sheep, you know, they depend on that minister to teach them and lead them aright. They don't have much longer to go on that trail. All right, as it says in John 1:14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Oh, boy. So he was full of grace and truth. And now there's a scripture somewhere that says, "He that loveth and maketh a law." Well, that's bad. So we go to Psalms, since we're doing a series on Psalms, we're going to go to Psalms 119 and read verse 142. It says, "Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth." So now it says right here, the Father, his Son is the only begotten, he says, full of grace and truth. Now, the begotten is mentioned 24 times in the KJV in 24 verses. It starts with Genesis 5:4. And it says, "In the days of Adam, after he had begotten Seth, were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters." Okay, there's your word begotten, and there's your begat. It says further on, talks about the begotten, like I said, 24 times. We won't read all of those, but let's go ahead now and get back to John chapter 1. It says that John, verse 15, "John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me. For he was before me, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Yeshua, the Messiah. So grace and truth came by Yeshua, the Messiah. No man has seen Yahweh at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father. He hath declared him. Okay, now it says in John 19, and this is a record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who art thou? And he confessed, I denied not, but confessed, I am not the Messiah. And they asked him, What then, art thou Elias? And he said, I am not. Now this Elias is the same thing as we read Elijah today. When we say Elijah, that's what this Elias means.
Elijah.
They asked John the Baptist, art thou Elijah? In other words. Mm-hmm. And Elijah is short for two parts of Yahweh, the Father's name, that's Eliyahu. So anyway, they asked him outright, are you that Elijah there in Malachi 4, verse 5, that's to come before the great and dreadful day of Yahweh? Now let's go read Malachi. Because they were concerned, if you are, we'd like to know that, you know, they just want to know, are you that Elijah there in Malachi 4? Where it says, Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament, and he's the last prophet in the Old Testament there. And it says in Malachi 4:5, Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Yeshua, the Son. So, they had a reason to be concerned because John the Baptist is out there on the banks of the Jordan, drawing large crowds from Jerusalem to come out there and listen to him preach about this coming Messiah. And John had never met the Messiah. He had never seen him before. And here John is 30 years old, and he was raised up in the neighborhood of Yeshua. Yeshua is 6 months younger than John the Baptist, and yet he had never seen him or met him. But he knew that he was coming. And it says, when he does come, he's going to turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. And I don't know how these preachers, I'm talking about the Gentile Sunday keeping, Baptist, Methodist, Lutherans, and the Presbyterian, Church of Christ, they all, and all the Pentecostal churches, they all teach the secret rapture. But yet, they can't produce any sound scriptures that will support that. But they teach it anyway. And when it says right here that Elijah's got, this Elijah's going to be the last prophet to come in these last days. And the children of Israel, the Pharisees at the cross, and the Christians, they came out to hear John the Baptist preach, and he was declaring that the Son of Man is on his way, that the second coming was imminent, just right in front of us, and so they believed that they were in the end of the world time. Just like they did, like in Noah's day. It was the end of the antediluvian world. Well, they were looking at the end of the Old Testament world there with John the Baptist. But all they had was the law of Moses. The Old Testament scriptures is all they had written. The New Testament was compiled from the Old Testament scriptures. The New Testament is not a new book. The New Testament is just more or less the unfolding and the amplification of the Old Testament. That's all it is. And because Yahshua, there in Luke chapter 24:44, it is plainly said right there. Let's go read it. Luke 24:44, and he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. This is Yahshua the Son talking, that all things must be fulfilled which was written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. So when David mentioned Lord in the Psalms, when it says upper and lower case, he's talking about the Son, Yahshua. For David met him personally. David met Yahshua back then. Moses met Yahshua. Matter of fact, Moses teamed up with Yahshua the Son to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. Yahshua was that rock in the clouds, and Paul said so there in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 4. He said he was that rock in the cloud that led the children of Israel out of Egypt. He said he was the Son. So now here's the Son that's come here now 2,000 years ago, and he's standing right there in prison talking to him. He said, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. Okay, so they didn't know how to interpret the Old Testament Scriptures. And here's Yahshua. And Yahshua is in the Old Testament. When he's going about teaching in their synagogues while he's here on earth, he was in the Old Testament period. He wasn't in the New Testament period. The New Testament period didn't begin until the third hour when he was hung on the cross. And when he died at the ninth hour of that same day, that's when the New Testament began. You can go and read Ephesians chapter 2:15. He broke down that middle wall of partition, taking it out of the way, and nailing those ordinances that govern the ceremonial service of the sanctuary for the animal sacrifice. He took that all out of the way and nailed it to his cross. But he didn't suspend the law of holy days and the time for coming to assemble and worship and have true worship. He didn't suspend those. He couldn't do that. Those holy days was fixed in creation all down through the ages, even down to our day. And everybody's bound by them, Jew and Gentile. If you want to say those old laws were done away with and misinterpret that statement, well, then go ahead, but to your own chagrin, because you'll probably end up on the outside looking in before it's over with. By believing false interpretation of the Scriptures. That's exactly what's happening out in the world. Now John actually had the antitypical role of Elijah, and he had that name. But you know what? Because the translators didn't give him that name, they gave him another name called John. Well, no, matter of fact, John's father was the one that gave John the Baptist his name, John. In the English, it's pronounced differently in the Hebrew. But Zacharias, the father of John, he gave John his name, and he confirmed that when his tongue was loose, where he could talk there in the temple, because the mother had already got the message that John was to be his name. And so Yahweh camouflaged that Elijah, his real title, who he really was. He was the Elijah, not the Tishbite of old, but he was the Elijah John of today. I mean, of their day. And so it says in John 1:22, But John says, no, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no, I'm not that prophet. What prophet? Well, that was the prophet Elijah. That's what they inquired about. They hit him with a double whammy there. They said, hey, you wanted the knowledge at the first time. He said, how about if we call him a prophet? And so they said, art thou that prophet? He said, no. Then said they unto him, who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? And he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Yahweh, as said the prophet Elijah. No, Isaiah, I mean, the prophet Isaiah. So maybe that's who they were asking John the Baptist. Well, are you that prophet Isaiah? Okay. But actually, they wouldn't ask that either, because they knew that Isaiah had died, so they wouldn't believe that Isaiah had been resurrected. But they knew that Elijah went to heaven without dying, and they knew that he was going to be sent in the last days, and they thought they were in the last days, and they thought, well, is John the Baptist a reincarnation of that Elijah, or is that the true Elijah that he's about to come back from heaven? So in John 1:24, and they which were sent were the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then if thou be not that Messiah, nor that Elijah, neither that prophet? They call Yahshua a prophet as well. His believers called him a prophet, and he was a prophet. He had the title of prophet, priest, and king. So they're asking him, well, are you that Messiah, in other words, that is prophesied to come? That's when they said, art thou that prophet? Yes, John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not. He it is who cometh after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to loose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptized. The next day John seeth Yahshua coming unto him, and saith, behold the Lamb of the Father, which taketh away the sin of the world. So when the Father when Yahshua comes, he has one burden, and that he has to pay the supreme sacrifice in order to be able to take away the sin of the world. And that is, the sin of the world is transgression of the law, 1 John 3:4. Because it just plainly says, sin is a transgression of the law. So we're going to conclude this sermon with Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14 and 15. Let's turn to it here. It says, how much more shall the blood of Yahshua, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot unto the Father, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living Yahweh? And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of the death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament. So that's the sin of the world that he died to take away, first and foremost, was the sins of the Old Testament world that had up to his death. Now, if you want to cover him taking care of the sins at the end of this world, then you just go right on over to Hebrews 9, verse 27 and 28. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this to judgment. So Yahshua was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So now he appeared the first time at the cross, and he offered up one offering for the sins of those that were past, the transgression of the Old Testament. And then here in Hebrews 9:28, he appears again in the end time, once offered to bear the sins of many. And I said he was once offered to bear the sins of many. It means all of those that had had their sins purged by the animal sacrifice in the Old Testament. That's what he's talking about. He was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So those that are looking for him, and you can go to and read the whole 24th chapter of Matthew to get a description about it. No man knows the day nor the hour and so forth, but it says, watch ye therefore and be ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, he cometh. It's only he's going to come to those that are watching. But the reason why they're watching is because their sins have been already purged and forgiven and covered by his blood already. And so when he comes the second time, they're looking for him because they know their sins have been purged already. A second time. This brings us to close our study. This is our contact list. It's 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on our audio archive. Okay, you can click on our audio archive at 11thhourcall.com to hear this and message and more. We're going to close now with a song that I have written by the Elijah David. I lead me to the rock. To the rock that is higher than mine, I'll forever be. Then dead to the sun, the very one who came to sit and free. Oh, the life is full, I have to live this but a stepping stone. For the greater heights I have to attain, never done alone. Rock, oh, lead me to the rock, lead me to the rock that's hard and high. Lead me to the place of the sages' feet, lead me to the mansion of the sky. The man on a mission came to this world, sort of on the sly. Born in a manger and stretched to a stranger, because he passing by. That is higher than God. Lead me to the fountain that never runs dry. Lead me in the path by the river of life. Lead me to those mansions in the sky. For the star pointed to the newborn king as he lay in the manger's crib. For he's the descendant of the one who created from the Adam's lip. Of the Galilee, how he changed the water into the wine, made the blind to see. Lead me to the rock, oh, lead me to the ground, lead me to the rock that's higher than mine, lead me to the place of the sages' feet, lead me to the mansion in the sky. This is the man for all times born to men coming to realize. For the witness of many miracles are right before their eyes. Oh, he lived and he died and he rose again with the victory over the grave. With the truth and once and for all that he has the power to save. Lead me to the rock, oh, lead me to the rock. Lead me to the rock that's hard and lead me to the place of the Savior's feet. Lead me to those mountains in the sky. Don't leave me in the desert, barren and dry. Vanquished forever and left to die. Brother, lead me to that fountain that never runs dry. Lead me to the rock that's hard and high. Lead me to the rock, oh, lead me to the ground. Lead me to the rock that's hard and high. And lead me to the place of the sages' feet. Lead me to those mansions in the sky. Oh, yes, lead me to those mansions in the sky.